from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Gonna have to ask us collectively to just pump the brakes. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, back from vacation. We're so excited to have you back. So I'll grant you this.
Mm-hmm.
The rookie quarterbacks who played in the preseason this weekend looked a lot better than I thought they were going to look.
One by one. Who looked better than you thought, and why would they look better than you thought? All of them killed it in college. Why are you surprised that they look good as in their preseason debut?
Well, because they're still rookies, and sometimes you're not playing with your full complement of the offense, right?
Right.
Generally, if you're going to have your rookie QB, who may be the future of the franchise, you generally want your full offensive line out there. If everyone's healthy enough to play, I get that. But you don't have all your weapons.
Right.
You don't have it's still a dress rehearsal, and so I wasn't sure how they'd look. They, for the most part, all looked unreal. Caleb Williams, I thought, number one, far and away. If there were any questions, he looked awesome. And I think he leads the pack. But they all looked good. But here's my thing. How many of those guys were going against full defenses who were actually dialed in on trying to stop them?
There's no exotic blitzes. There's nothing. It's very plain Jane defenses. So I totally understand what you're saying. Yes, this preseason doesn't prove it. But I still don't understand. First of all, and also, all these quarterbacks, you say rookies, half of them are 28 years old.
They are older.
Michael Penix is approaching retirement age.
He looks great.
So, of course, they were good. But I'm not sure why you're not as high on this class. You know, there's only two classes that have had six quarterbacks go in the first round. This class in 83, the famous Dan Marino, John Elway, Jim Kelly draft. I think there's every reason to think, regardless of what happened, like, this is going to be possibly an all-time class, because you have Caleb Williams,
who
compared him to Andrew Luck. I mean, there's no surprise. So who's surprising you? I think maybe McCarthy, because we never saw it, but he looked awesome.
It looked just like Michigan. It looked like him handing off the ball a lot, and then when he did get a chance to throw, he was doing his thing.
He threw 18 passes.
Yeah, I mean, a bad pick. That's fine. Yeah, I'm not going to nitpick everything they did, but yes, they all looked really good. But here's the reason why I want to caution on going so far overboard that this is going to be like 1983. I think that it's about the bust rate is over 50% for first-round quarterbacks.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of things that exist today in 2024 that didn't exist in 1983. Mm-hmm. And you heard Nick Saban say it on the first episode of Hard Knocks when he was at the Bears. And he said the expectations and the weight of the world, and that can end up ruining guys. And the irony is he's saying this on a television show that's there to promote Caleb Williams. But I digress. Some of these guys, and now the expectations may be even higher, I think some guys get crushed under that. And I don't know if this class is so special that they're not going to fall into the same trap that basically every other statistic outside of 1983 had, which is about an over 50% bust rate.
Well, first of all, they're six, so you could get three great ones out of that, which makes it an all-time class. There's only... you know, there's only the 83 class, the only class with three Hall of Famers.
Sure. I mean, the 2018 class was supposed to be like this. This was Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And
was it supposed to be? I think this class. It was a big class, and it turned out to be a great class because you had Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Right, but you still have Sam Darnold and you still have Josh Rosen. So there's always going to be guys who don't live up, and Baker Mayfield somewhere in the middle.
But this class is such a fluke. This is a series of flukes, not just because, first of all, these six guys should not be here. There's no reason that Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix are even in this draft. It's because partly because of COVID and extended eligibility. It's the adaptation of the transfer portal. So we got to see a lot more of them. Normally, these guys would be fourth-round picks who never had a chance. But, bam, all of a sudden you got to see these guys come into this draft. And also, look at the teams they're going to. Since when is there a team where the number one overall pick has three amazing receivers?
I know.
When does that happen? When is a coach like Sean Payton picking a quarterback? Like, these are fluky situations. So I think it sort of feels like a perfect storm of awesomeness for this class. The great spots they're going to, all of them, except for Drake May. I think that Caleb Williams is going to a great spot because of all the talent they build around on offense. Jaden Daniels has Cliff Kingsbury as his coach, and they have a sneaky good receiving core. Drake May is a disaster. That's a tough spot.
We only saw him for one series.
Yeah, yeah. And also, New England is rebuilding. Yeah. So, and then Penix has a lot of talent in Atlanta whenever
really
he gets on the field. J.J. McCarthy has Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson, and then Bo Nix has Sean Payton. The guys who blew me away, by the way, were J.J. McCarthy after the pick really looked good, and he threw the ball downfield, and Bo Nix. I mean, I read some mixed reviews of it. Bo Nix looks like he's ready to start. Like, he could easily win that competition against Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson.
I thought a lot of guys looked like they were ready to start. And the other part is they all, even Bo Nix, showed off using his legs.
Yep.
They all can run.
Yeah.
And it's,
thank you.
You know, Caleb Williams, that was one of the most remarkable things. We saw it in college, obviously. But he's, like, putting on a display passing against the Bills' defense. And then all of a sudden started using legs. It was like, oh boy, this guy's going to be a problem. However, this is where I'm going to disagree with you about this class in terms of, like, the future. There's a thought that, yes, these guys are more ready to play because Bo Nix did 7 years in college and Michael Penix played in multiple different systems, and they've just seen a lot and done a lot more. But this might just be as good as they are. So they're not, like, besides Caleb, who kind of looks like he could be like a top 15 quarterback right now, this just might be, and it's not a disrespect, but this might be who Bo Nix is, and his ceiling might be this. So yeah, he'll come in with the higher floor as a rookie, and maybe he won't have the same growing pains that other guys do, but how much better is he going to get? Or is him at 25, is this how good he can be?
Better what, though? I'm not exactly sure. Honestly,
like, we'll see
I
understand your point. Real defense,
but
by
like
the
way. What? Yeah, I mean, listen, Bo Nix, I think, is going to be able to read the field really well. I know he's always been athletic. I mean, that's all he could do at Auburn was run for his life, and he's got a nice arm. I mean, the guy was nearly perfect last year.
Yeah, he was.
I think at a normal draft, he would have not been the sixth quarterback taken. I think he was really good at Oregon. It just feels like a perfect setup. I hear what you're saying. Now, traditionally, older draft prospects have not done well. There's never been a 24-year-old who came in the league who did great. But it's a different era altogether. I just think that they had so many passes in college, they're going to be ready to go. And Penix is the other thing, too. Penix would never, 25 years ago, 1983, Penix would have already been out of football because medical stuff has become so advanced that it's not even an issue anymore. Did anyone think about Michael Penix's knees when he was slinging it downfield? And he's going to get a year to sit behind Kirk Cousins. He's going to be ready to go. You go through the list. There's six shots here at the gold, as you'll say. It's going to be a great class. These are six guys, and all of them are really interesting. I think you definitely get three big hits out of this.
I would say after watching this weekend, I would be surprised if McCarthy is not starting, and I would be surprised if Bo Nix isn't starting.
Ooh.
Obviously, we knew Caleb was going to be starting. We knew Jaden Daniels was going to be starting, or we had very good ideas about Jaden Daniels. I don't know what they'll do with Drake May. Put that on the back burner. Penix is obviously going to be stuck behind Kirk Cousins unless there's an injury. But I think those two guys, now after watching them, like, was Sam Darnold that much better than J.J. McCarthy? Again, it's against defenses who are not game planning for you. I think it sped up their timeline.
Well, I think they can't get over Sam Darnold. The stuff they said after the game, Darnold did look pretty good, and he was with the first team. They didn't put McCarthy out with the first team even once. So I think they're leaning Darnold. And Darnold apparently has looked pretty good in camp. J.J. McCarthy did look amazing. Again, it's hard to tell.
But, like, that's what he is. Like, so, how, you know, again, it's going to be...
That's against, what who is? Bo Nix? Or,
no, J.J. McCarthy. Oh, J.J. Like, that's going to be who he is, right?
What, and what's... Yeah, I mean, dude threw two long touchdowns.
Looked good, but again, they were definitely focusing more in on the run. To me, it looked just like Michigan. It reminded me of that, and their running backs were tearing it up. So, you know, why go away from it?
I don't know. I don't. It seemed like when he was throwing it downfield, he looked
fine.
Pretty comfortable.
Really good. 855-212-4227. If you were watching preseason, were you impressed by these rookies? Can I give you the flip side of this? And it's not a rookie, but I was starting to think that Trey Lance was going to really have a shot here too. Who knows what's going to happen with Dak Prescott, but they brought in Lance because Mike McCarthy is good at developing quarterbacks, and behind the scenes, maybe he's developing Lance. Lance got a lot of playing time in that game against the Rams. And again, it's one preseason game. His legs, amazing. He can run. It looks like he belongs in this league when he runs, but left a lot to be desired in terms of passing. Again, it's preseason. You don't have your full complement of guys, but I was thinking this could be a big preseason for Trey Lance, and I give him like a B, maybe like a B+.
Yeah, I was a big Trey Lance fan coming in. Just in that draft process, there was no bigger winner than Trey Lance. I've never seen anyone who's watched him in practice said, oh man, he's got it. You kind of know how teams... No, in practice, I've never heard someone say that about Trey Lance. In San Francisco, it was nothing but negativity.
Right.
And now in Dallas, there really hasn't been... Forget the preseason. Was there anything in training camp that you heard that said, oh, Trey Lance is going to push for this? Because I have not seen it. Maybe it is out there. Yeah, it feels like a backup. It doesn't feel like a threat. And by the way, Dak Prescott, who we'll talk about later in the show, once again, ankle issues. I think I agree with you. He probably watched that game and be like, okay, I have nothing to worry about there.
Yeah, like, was Dak Prescott, you cut to him on the sideline, he's just like counting hundreds. It's like, he's going to be fine. Dak's going to play this again perfectly. He's going to have Jerry and Stephen Jones over a barrel again, just like he did 4 years ago.
I got to tell you, though.
Win this negotiation.
Had injuries again on Friday. My friend Dr. Rock Positano, Pilates favorite, has warned me.
He came on the show and brought a live foot.
Yes, once you have a foot ankle problem like that, it does not go away. And Dak's 31, so
with it last year, and he was the MVP runner up.
Yeah, but it feels like it just gets worse and worse as you get older. That's a good point, but it does feel like if Trey Lance has to be the backup, what's he going to do with this Dallas team? He's going to run.
I don't think he's going to be the backup. I think they're going to give Cooper. It to Rush, and I think that they'd be smart to do that, by the way. And you can have three QBs. It's fine. It's just I thought that Lance may push just at least to have the conversation like, oh, wow, what's life after Dak Prescott going to be? But again, he's going to have all year to sit and learn and get, you know, tutored by Mike McCarthy, and that's not a terrible thing. McCarthy really has developed quarterbacks. Say what you want about his in-game play calling or strategy or what have you, but the guy can develop a quarterback.
I mean, I know this isn't the topic, but is there going to be life after Dak Prescott, or is that going to be in 8 years?
855-212-4227. If you were watching preseason, were you impressed by the rookie quarterbacks? And love to know from the Cowboys fans your thoughts on Trey Lance.
No, not were you impressed. Are you ready to put at least four of them into the Hall of Fame? Let's overreact fully, Maggie.
Who's going in the Hall?
Well, Caleb? Obviously Caleb. Yeah. Obviously Jaden Daniels is going to challenge him for Rookie of the Year. So that's two surefire Hall of Famers.
Yeah, obviously, sure.
Drake May is, just the wrong team, wrong place. Then I saw enough from Bo Nix to put him in the Pro Bowl this year. Michael Penix is my favorite quarterback in the entire NFL. And who's the other one? J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy looked so
good. Jersey in the rafters?
I can't believe that Michigan didn't let that dude throw more. He just like...
it is 15-0.
I just think it's math, Maggie. It's pure math. There's six of them. Three of them are going to be good. Even that Josh, how many were in the Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen draft? There were five?
It was five.
And two of them are all-timers. So I think this is going to be the second best quarterback class of all time. The second best now on everybody's list is Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers. Let's face it, Eli wasn't that great. So I think Caleb can catch him.
He's going to probably be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
But he's Eli Manning. His last name was Eli Rogers or whatever. Who knows?
855-212-4227.
Phoenix.
Let's get crazy. Let's overreact to some preseason. But no, these rookies, they were impressive. You can watch the show. Let's do it. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and Justin Moments at Maggie Gray on X. We say good morning to our Infinity Sportsnet affiliates, who we love. Good morning. And also SiriusXM Channel 158. The free Odyssey app is where you can find us. You can download it. Just divide it up into nice little chapters if you ever miss any part of the show. And, of course, the podcast as well. If you watch Trey Lance, Cowboy fans, how are you feeling about that? 855-212-4227. Give it about a B. Okay, coming up, we do have a little bit of sort of breaking news out of San Francisco with the 49ers. Want to get to that. This came across late last night. We'll do that next. It's Maggie.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. It's very frustrating to be on vacation when a giant story breaks about your own team. Last week was all about the ESPN report on the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know, Maggie, you dove into it with Andrew Bogus, who's to my left here. This is much ado about nothing.
I knew you'd say that.
Much ado about nothing. It does not matter.
The you Eagles think are good.
Sirianni's not going to get fired when they're 7-2. Everything, the story laid out exactly what happened. Basically, Jalen Hurts struggled last year, and he went to Wink Martindale, the Giants defense coordinator, and asked what is wrong with his team, and Martindale helped him, apparently, because Hurts does not have respect for head coach Nick Sirianni.
Yes, his X's and O's acumen.
There's a quote in the story that says exactly what happened. Martindale says the Eagles were not committed to quarterback runs anymore, and that's why their offense stopped. Yes, they were committed, because Jalen Hurts would... flop onto the ground anytime he was one-on-one. He got paid and did not want to take any contact. And that's what happened in the offense. It completely ground to a halt because they were such a dangerous offense the year before, because you didn't know if Hurts was going to run or pass. But when Hurts said, nah, I don't need to get hit, the entire, and also he had a knee problem, which probably contributed to it, the entire offense slowed down. So, of course, it was a grind because your greatest weapon, which was Hurts running and throwing, was taken away.
So, we did mention, Bogish, I think you can back me up on this, that the knee injury was conspicuously absent from this entire article. Like, they never addressed the fact that Hurts may have been really dealing with something significant, and it never made it in. Why I said that Nick Sirianni would be the first coach fired after reading this is because I think if you don't respect the X's and O's of the coach, and that's out there, and now the coach had to replace his assistants, and it was Howie Roseman, the general manager, who picked the assistants, I still don't think that means he respects Nick Sirianni as a football mind. And I think that it doesn't, just because they're winning games, this article showed, doesn't mean that things are going well or that things are on the right track, because they were all walking around like their dog had just died because they had lost the Super Bowl, even right, when they were at 10-1. I also thought it was not a good thing in the article they said that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts basically can't communicate one-on-one. They have to have a third person there, and that person is now Kellen Moore. And Kellen Moore doesn't have a degree in psychology, so I just think you're putting a lot on this, when I think it's probably one of the most important relationships to have trust between the quarterback and the head coach. And it doesn't look like there's any trust there.
And why? But in this model, there was no trust lost. Jalen Hurts probably never trusted Nick Sirianni. He probably never had any faith for them. And they lost 38-35 to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Hurts shredded everybody because he had a great offense coordinator in Shane Steichen. And then when Steichen left, and then Hurts decided, I'm not going to run, of course the offense fell apart. There's nothing changed from 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. I'm sure Nick Sirianni, everyone knows Nick Sirianni is not an X's and O's genius, but it worked in the past. Why can't it work now?
Okay, because they fell off a cliff.
Yeah, because their defense, they had nobody in the secondary. They brought in Kevin Byard, who had given up on football altogether and said, I'm not tackling anybody.
Wait, I thought it was basically everybody.
They never got the ball back on offense because they were torched so bad on defense every single week.
Man, for someone who doesn't think this awful article meant a lot, you really are defending
it. No, but that wasn't in the article. They didn't talk about how terrible the defensive coordinator was and how terrible the defensive effort was. I mean, maybe that's on Sirianni, but basically what happened, the two coordinators left. And that they hired the wrong guys.
Yeah, they hired absolutely. So you know what they did? They took away the hiring from Nick Sirianni.
The Sirianni guys did not work. They basically, Howie said, bring in Patricia to try and save this mess.
No, but the article says that Howie Roseman was the one who hired the assistant. So you have a head coach who's not allowed or not given the authority to hire his own assistants, not great at X's and O's. The team vibes couldn't be further from anything you'd want last year. He doesn't have a good enough relationship with the quarterback to be able to communicate one-on-one. What do you do around here? That was a fair question
What did he do 2 years ago?
Shane Steichen. That's what changed. You just said it. They had to deal with him more directly, and they went, uh-oh.
Well, no, I mean, listen, we remember Sirianni used to call the plays, and then gave it to Steichen halfway through the season, and things turned around. I'm just saying, whatever Sirianni does, now that he has Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio in the house, this can all work again, just like it did 2 years ago, because Howie fixed some things on defense, brought in some help, especially in the back four, back seven. I think that things are going to change in Philadelphia. And I think the defense was so much of a bigger problem last year. And if Hurts decides to run, then it's all coming back.
Okay, well, yeah, the Miami Dolphins also brought in Vic Fangio because they thought that he was going to cure everything, and it didn't happen. So just to pencil in, and I respect the hell out of Fangio, but to expect that it's just going to go swimmingly and awesomely, first, let's see it. And then the second part, because you're also going to be relying on a lot of rookies to be playing some really big moments, which, listen, the Chiefs did, and so maybe it worked for the Eagles. I just think you have one guy who's making $220 million, and you have one guy who's being asked, what do you do around here? And the fact that Nick Sirianni, I just think that the Eagles can kind of treat coaches like tissues.
Yeah, that's how they do it. I mean,
the first coach fired. That's what I said.
Yeah, but they never, you know, even Carson Wentz killed Doug Peterson. Obviously, the two of them didn't talk. But I don't think they fired, I can't remember, they didn't fire Peterson midseason, did they? So it just doesn't make sense. The Eagles cannot. In the NFC East, the Eagles should not be so bad that they have to fire their coach midseason. Last year was awful, but it It was all on the coordinators to me. I mean, they were terrible. Even I'm no X and O expert, but I could tell their offense was predictable. Hurts didn't want to run, and the defense just, I mean, Sam Howell was treating them like they were the worst team in the league. Everybody was completely torching them. So the 10-1 was kind of phony. They beat the Chiefs, and that was exciting. But last year, everyone knew the wheels were coming off. I think that they upgraded majorly with these coordinators in a huge way. Sean Desai and Johnson were just not ready for the jobs.
Well, you're right about that. I mean, I can't argue with you there, but...
My argument that Sirianni never did anything 2 years ago is not the strongest.
Yeah, it doesn't really bode well for him. It seems, you know, maybe last year was a perfect storm. I just think if you don't respect a guy's football acumen, and then I think that's really hard to win back. And I think also Sirianni basically coming in to try to change play calls, Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown changing play calls. Like, I think it's the moment that adversity hits, people revert back to, hey, this is what got me here. Yeah. This is what I know. And we saw with the Eagles last year, you don't have to have adversity doesn't mean losing necessarily. Adversity is happening behind the scenes. Mm. And they were all hated each other at 10-0, and look at what happened. You did pay the price, or they all couldn't get along. And you ended up paying the price. And now the expectations are bigger, by the way, because I think the Cowboys, people are off of because they just can't do this anymore. We'll see what happens with the Commanders. The Giants, we think, are not going to be very good. Like, the Eagles' Super Bowl expectations are right there, and I...
Well, they were. They can't be bigger than last year. Last year, they were the favorite coming in. I mean, they were coming off a very close Super Bowl win. I think their expectations are actually a little lower because last year, think about it, everybody was picking the Eagles, and they should have.
They were coming off a Super Bowl loss, though. We kind of know that can linger.
Well, I mean, the odds were definitely better last year. They were co-favorites coming into last season. Now, I think they're third or fourth.
Because after this article, there's no shot I'd put $5 on the Eagles. Like, no way.
Well, did anything change your opinion in this article?
Yes.
You said everything you said about Sirianni you said before. What do you do around here? You've been saying that about Sirianni for 2 years.
Well, because it was an all-time question to be asked at a press conference. But I just think that I didn't realize that Jalen Hurts was changing plays. I didn't realize that he had tuned him out. I didn't realize that they couldn't talk to each other without a third person there. I guess I didn't realize the depth of it because I always wondered, why couldn't Jason Kelce have, you know, helped this? And why couldn't Brandon Graham help this? And why couldn't Fletcher Cox come in and change the vibes? And you do have all these veterans. Why was the locker room so bad? And now I understand why.
Well, they cited this change of play. It was in a game where Sirianni on third and long called for a run. That was the play they were talking about. They won that game. Sirianni was right. I mean, why would Jalen was going to take a sack on a pass play? I don't even understand this article. Like, first of all, Hurts was way glorified in this. They did point out Hurts is not a communicator, does not talk to other people, anybody.
So. All right, we're going to have to leave the Eagles conversation there for just a moment. Andrew Bogish does have headlines for us. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning, and because I still sometimes want to be Pearl's bestie, I tried to watch his beloved breaking in Paris. If it's never in the Olympics again, it'll be too soon, but we'll always have Ray Gunn, Australian B-girl Rachel Gunn.
Ray Gunn giving us some interesting transitions. And concepts?
Those concepts included kangaroo hopping, the sprinkler, and a headstand, which got Ray Gunn a...
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
The internet responded as if Ray Gunn had said Noah Lyles celebrated too much for winning by a chest hair. Australian Olympic Committee boss Anna Mears did not appreciate that.
What I can say is that I love Rachel, and I think that what has occurred on social media with trolls and keyboard warriors and taking those comments and giving them airtime has been really disappointing.
Especially since Ray Gunn is a trailblazer.
In 2008, she was locked in a room crying, being involved in a male-dominated sport as the only woman, and it took great courage for her to continue on and fight for her opportunity to participate in a sport that she loved And that got her to winning the Olympic qualifying event to be here in Paris. She is the best breakdancer female that we have for Australia.
They might want to start some grassroots breaking dance programs before LA 2028, if that is the case. Anthony Richardson played for the Colts yesterday for the first time since last October's shoulder injury. 4 passes, 2 completions, 25 yards. And a 1 yard run.
Just being able to put my uniform back on and being able to go back out there in front of the fans and all the supporters, you know, it's a blessing because I know I definitely missed it last year a lot, just running out there and just being back on the field. So this is another, you know, step in the journey, and hopefully I get to take some more.
Richardson and Jonathan Taylor only on the field for 2 snaps last season for various reasons. JT got 2 carries for 4 yards in this 34-30 loss to the Broncos. The Mariners finished their 3-game destruction of the Mets 12-1 on Sunday Night Baseball. The sweep by a combined score of 22-1. Seattle remains in a virtual tie with Houston atop the AL West. Rangers righties Max Scherzer and Nathan Eovaldi are back in Texas for further medical evaluation. Scherzer's been out since the 2nd with shoulder fatigue. He will not come off the IL when first eligible. And Eovaldi left Saturday's start against the Yankees with right side tightness. And finally, Matt Kuchar sucks. The veteran golfer decided he could not play his second shot on 18 yesterday at the Wyndham Championship because of darkness. This is the final hole of the event. Every other golfer, including his 2 playing partners, finished the final round, but Kuchar will come back by himself this morning to finish on his own. Aaron Ray's the winner no matter what. Kuchar's playing only for prize money here. He cannot move up into the FedEx Cup playoffs, which are about to begin. Guys, back to you.
Bogachai will not stand for this Ray Gun slander. She's awesome. All that made my weekend, the Australian breakdancer, the memes about how every time your 2-year-old kid wants to get in the bed and acts like Ray Gun, it was awesome.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Well, here's the thing about Ray Gun. It was a little too familiar for people like me. White women, because I've seen this before. When it's your birthday, your bachelorette party, all, you know, rolled into one. It's a Friday night. You just got paid. All these things. Everything's going your way. The guy you like texted you back, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden someone hands you 2 shots of tequila.
Yep.
And here you go. And your favorite song comes on. Yep. And I've seen this before because I have friends who have done this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was upset. I thought the American got robbed in breaking. Oh, boy.
This was one of our favorite events. And actually, we're excited because we get a special guest today. Michael Rubin, the CEO and founder of Fanatics, is here with us. Fanatics Fest is happening in New York City. This is coming up very, very soon, August 16th through the 18th. We were supposed to do this tomorrow, but thanks for doing it today.
Well, I appreciate it. The commute was very long. I walked about 6 feet here, so I appreciate you guys having me live.
Well, we need, by the way, full disclosure. I am a Lower Merion High School graduate. I know you went to Plymouth White Marsh, I believe, right?
Well, first of all, I barely graduated high school, so at least you graduate probably with honor and distinction. I, you know, kind of, you know, slipped through.
Right. Maggie's been saying mean things about the Philadelphia Eagles. That we're just not going to accept that for this interview, right? I mean...
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, she just doesn't get it.
Here, let's move. Can you put your microphone just a little bit closer to make sure everyone can hear exactly?
I can do exactly as I'm direct. I'm very good at taking direct.
You know, so Michael Rubin is here. We want to talk to you about Fanatics Fest. This is very cool. You're basically creating this thing that doesn't exist in our world, which is this big convention and a place for people to come, share ideas, memorabilia. You've got all of your famous friends are going to be here and athletes who are going to be doing panels and all of that. How did the brainchild of this come to fruition?
You know, it really came from going to the National, which is an incredible trading card show. I just came from there a few weeks ago. It was in Cleveland this year. It was in Chicago last year. It gets like almost 150,000 people. And from one sense, you walk in there, you're like, this is absolutely amazing. There's 150,000 people here that are all diehard collectors. And you respect, you know, how much they love the hobby and how much, you know, they all gather together for the show. Then you look around, you're like, but it looks like it's like in 1980 or 1990 when I was a collector in middle school. It hasn't really changed a lot. And so, you know, I went to that for the first time in modern times 3 years ago. And then I came back and I went to Comic-Con in New York City. You go to Comic-Con, it was very modern. Everyone's dressed in full, you know, Comic-Con, different, you know, crazy uniforms and outfits and costumes. And I thought to myself, how do I kind of make a Comic-Con of sports? And so I did what I normally do. I just said to someone in my office, find the guy who runs Comic-Con in New York, get him in my office to see me. And I said, hey, it's great to meet you. Congratulations. You're going to come join Fanatics and you're going to run Fanatics Fest. And so that's really how it came, was really going to the National, this trading card show with 150,000 people and saying, incredible, but we could do something that's different and kind of a lot more modern. And then looking at Comic-Con and saying we could do it. And look, if you really think about it, other than sports, every industry has giant kind of conventions. Like, think about Comic-Con. 250,000 people come to Comic-Con in New York City each year. If any of us live in New York City, when Comic-Con's going on, you see everyone walking down the streets in the costumes. You're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Okay. Music festivals. We've all been to music festivals. Great gatherings. South by Southwest, incredible. There's nothing like that in sports.
Well, Super Bowl week is a little bit, but that's another thing that you're kind of modeling it after.
Yeah, look, Super Bowl does have that, obviously geared 100% toward the NFL. And what we want to do is take the best of each sport and bring it into Fanatics Fest. So you're going to see a combination of what do they have best, the Super Bowl or the MLB All-Star Game or the NBA All-Star Game, brought into Fanatics Fest. So you know, the NFL will be there with a big exhibition. You'll be able to run the 40-yard dash, see all the Super Bowl rings and Lombardi trophies. And by the way, we're going to have the amount of athletes that are coming to this is insane.
Run through it for us, and let me just reset again if you're just joining us. Michael Rubin is here with us in studio. This is a great surprise. CEO and founder of Fanatics, and you are a former part owner of the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Devils, and you are kind of.
But living. I hear you're not really a Philly fan. So.
No.
I just I do bleed for the Sixers.
I've been sitting next to him and our former boss Spike Eskin, of course. This was a big Philly office for a while, but you're living like sports fans' dreams. Like if you follow Michael Rubin on any of your social channels. You're best friends with Tom Brady. You get to have all these professional athletes to your massive white party in the Hamptons. Like, for people who think, wow, what would it be like to be a billionaire and a massive sports fan? You are the living embodiment of that. How's the reality to what we see on your social media? Are you really living this crazy sports fan life?
Well, let me say first, I do think I have the greatest, you know, job on the planet. Like, I love doing what I do. What people probably don't understand is I legitimately do this 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, because I'm honored to do it. I love doing it. It's the, you know, it couldn't be any more fun. So yes, is it a blast? Absolutely. I don't think most people can keep up with me from the grind perspective. I mean, I'm 52, which I feel like I'm 25, but I'm 52. I'm going to do this till I die. There's no chance I'm ever selling this company. There's no chance I'm ever going to do anything other than build Fanatics into the greatest and biggest and best company I possibly can. And we're just getting started. So that's the thing for me that's so exciting is, you know, I really spent from 2011 until about 2019 or 20 working only in the merchandise category. We've now built our sports betting business, the whole collectibles business. And I think there's so much we can do to be better at everything we do. And we recognize that, and we're working so hard to do that. And so I love it. And to work around so many great athletes, so many incredible sports fans, you know, it's a real honor and a privilege to do it. So yes, it is great. But, you know, people always see the public things. You see, you know, I was kind of joking, you know, I'm walking around Europe and everyone's coming up to me. I get asked probably in Paris, not even Paris, I was on a little bit of a European family vacation a few days before. I get asked for white party invites about 17 times per day, no matter what city in the world I'm in. So I think at this point, the white party may actually have, you know, made me more known than Fanatics, which is not what I want to be known for. But it's an honor to do that too, because we bring so many people together. Like, why did I start the white party? It wasn't because I wanted to have the coolest party in the world. It's because I love bringing people together. Mm-hmm. And for a guy who barely made out of high school, which I was just, you know, again, I'm sure you made out of Lower Merriam very well. You know, I legitimately, you know, got a, you know, 780 on my SATs combined. I missed 70 days my senior year of high school and barely made it out of high school. My superpower is probably relationship skills. And so I love bringing people together. And so when you see all these people from different backgrounds, whether it's the best athletes in the world, the best artists, the best business CEOs, and just great people and really good friends of mine who come together for the white party or for Fanatics Fest. You know, it's such an honor to bring people together. And that's really why I was so excited to do Fanatics Fest, because I thought we were uniquely positioned, the only company that could get everyone to come out to do this. I mean, I was just thinking about this. We have Tom Brady on Friday throwing passes to kids for an hour. Okay?
Wow. Megan and I will be there. Can you throw, can we jump in the line? Or
by the way, I don't know who saw. I actually caught a pass on a jet ski from Brady on my first try, which is one of the most athletic things I've ever, could be actually the most athletic thing I've ever done in my life.
I credit Brady for that, though.
But it did hit me. It just hit me right in the chest. And I just had my arms there. So, and we were kind of wedged in between someone who was driving the jet ski. So it was kind of, you know, it was kind of hard for it to not stay in my hands. But I was, you looked at me, I thought I was a 12-year-old who just won the Super Bowl. It was kind of a very childish reaction. I was so excited. But, you know, to have, like, Brady there throwing passes on Friday, to have, you know, when I was with KD at the Olympics, he said, hey, why don't we throw, you know, because he knew Brady was throwing passes, why don't, you know, him and Ant throw passes to kids in the NFL section on Saturday, and why don't we go do basketball with kids? I'm like, this is nuts. Like, Allen Iverson's going to be playing basketball with kids on Sunday. You've got this one I just heard. Cheruski's going to be in the octagon. I can't wait to... Cheruski in the octagon, wow. I can't wait to see.
That's going to be something.
That's going to be something. I'm not sure what he's going to do. You know, but there's so many different crazy things. We have, I think, 200 different athletes coming to Fanatics Fest this weekend, which, again, is it's pretty crazy to think about such a great gathering. So I think about our Super Bowl party, which is a pretty famous party. There's so many more people coming to Fanatics Fest than coming to our Super Bowl party.
We should reset 16th to the 18th. That's where it is in New York City, but you're doing this like up and down the East Coast. This has become like this thing.
Well, we're starting it. This is the first time we've ever done it. It's this weekend at Javits, August 16th through the 18th. If we accomplish what we want to, then we'll take it to the biggest cities in the world. I don't think we can do it that many places. I think we could probably only do this in New York, L.A., maybe Chicago, but then could you do it in Paris? Could you do it in Brazil? Could you do it in Tokyo? Could you do it in China? So my goal would be to have this kind of be like Comic-Con, where it takes a life of its own, and the biggest cities in the world do Fanatics Fest. But the test will be, do fans come through and say, we absolutely love this? Do all the athletes and celebrities and artists that come to this say, hey, it was worth taking my, did I love doing it? And then, how is the social pickup for us? Like, we plan on breaking the internet. Oh, we have so many crazy stunts that nobody knows about planned for this weekend. So can we break the internet all weekend long?
Well, I mean, if anyone can do it, Michael, you can. Michael Rubin is here with us. He's the CEO and founder of Fanatics, Fanatics Fest. Again, this weekend in New York City, if you're going to be around, definitely go check it out. And thank you for stopping by. This has been a pleasure to meet
you. Thanks so much. It's great to be here. It's fun to be with you guys.
We'll have to get into,
so can we get you to do like a Go Sixers?
I make a play the song after every victory.
Perfect. Should we should we sing one right now? Actually, I'm a horrible singer.
Let's do it.
Well, I have my own lyrics.
I just want to hear your lyrics.
Dr. J, everybody, Mo Cheeks, and Bobby Jones. That's all I... And
you're killing it.
This is your greatest fan right here. Are you sure you want to be associated with this?
Let's go. Sports fan in every which way.
Michael Rubin, thank you so much. We know you're busy. You got to get out of here. We appreciate it. We'll see you this weekend at Fanatics
Fest. Can't wait. Thanks for having me.
Okay, that was Michael Rubin, former Sixers owner and Devils owner, too. CEO of Fanatics, best friends with Tom Brady, white party, the whole deal. We're back with more in just a moment. Don't move. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff's back from vacation. We're thrilled to have him. So Michael Rubin, the CEO of Fanatics, just dropped into the studio because you never know who's just going to be walking around the halls around here. Fanatics Fest is this weekend. You've always said, and he's a CEO of Fanatics and the founder, but was a former co-owner of the 76ers and the New Jersey Devils. You've always said you think sports ownership is like your number one thing you would want as a sports fan. I'm the exact opposite. Like, you just heard Michael Rubin saying, I'm grinding 17 hours a day. Like, it's not just fun. You get to be in the draft room, you know, in the war room on draft night. Like, there's so much more. There's so many more headaches that go into it.
Well, he was talking about building Fanatics, which is sort of a unique company, too, because they're doing more than just trading cards. Whatever. They're doing everything now. Gear, trading cards. His backstory is incredible. He's always been a hustler. He was selling used skis to start out in suburban Philly. We're right around the same age, and we're from the same place. And he's like a successful version of me. But he's funny. He's like, I'm sure you graduated high school. I barely did. It's kids out there listening, do like Michael Rubin. Don't concentrate on school. Start selling stuff. But regardless of that.
What a message.
I don't only want to be an owner. I want to be the owner GM, Jerry Jones style. I'm going all in. I'm making the draft picks. I think that sounds like the most fun thing any human being can do on a planet.
Okay, but it doesn't work. Jerry Jones can't win a Super Bowl without Jimmy Johnson. It doesn't work. See, that's the thing. You got to find the sweet spot here because, you know, if you're an owner, you can get attached to some of these guys. Hell, if you're a general manager, you can get attached to some of these guys.
I've thought about this in my fantasy owner world. I don't talk to the players for that very reason.
But don't you want to be friends with them and hanging out with them?
Like, only after they retire, honestly. Or if it's like if it's Lane Johnson or somebody who's an offensive lineman who I know is going to retire as an Eagle, then I'll take him.
Wow, you only want to hang out with the offensive lineman.
No, I do. No, that relates. That's a real thing you're talking about. Like, the owners can be friends with the players, but GMs cannot. I was recently watched the movie Moneyball, and Billy Beane would not talk to the players very much because you got to cut them. By the way, total aside, did you see the other Billy Beane passed away?
I did see that. It was sad.
So many people, I was out in California, everybody was talking about it because they originally thought it was Moneyball, Billy Beane.
Yeah.
Regardless, I want to own a team, and I'm going to make it high end. I'm going to do it exactly like Jerry Jones. He's my model. Are you afraid?
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to build a practice facility in Frisco, Texas. I'm going to do everything.
Oh man!
I'm going to be larger than life, be a celebrity. Now, Ruben, I think, is a celebrity because he did have an ownership stake in the 76ers. It raises your profile.
Absolutely. Sitting courtside, I mean, listen, there's some people I think it helps the team, and there's other people it helps them, like Jack Nicholson. You know, that he and the Lakers are kind of like one and the same, right? Because he's a famous actor.
Right.
But no, you sit courtside, you're going to get a lot of notoriety. And I think the other thing, too, was, you know, sort of teaming up to help with some like legislation in terms of like doing some advocacy work and philanthropy. I think that also helps raise your profile. And now he's to the point where, again, this Fanatics Fest is going to have Brady and Durant and Anthony Edwards, and everybody is going to be there.
What's Jerry Jones's philanthropy? What, you don't need that to raise profile. What, the Johnny Blue Red Fund? What are you talking about?
Johnny Walker
Blue Red Fund? Yeah, yeah. No, there's no philanthropy. Owner is all you need, and I do.
No, they do the Salvation Army for the Cowboys. Remember, Ezekiel Elliott jumped in the.
That's what you got.
The thing.
I do think that you can use that ownership as a catapult, like Ruben did, to do other things. And Jerry has very much done that. You know, he created Legends where they supplied food for other stadiums.
Yep.
So I do think there's actually business reasons to do it as well. Now, when I was at Dan Patrick Show, we knew a guy who was really rich.
Okay.
Could have bought a team. And I guess considered the Mets. But he was in the New York area and saw all the heat that the Wilpons got over the years. And whoever, I'm not sure. And he's like, wow, I do not want to be criticized 24 hours a day on local sports talk radio.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, you're going to get way famous, but you're also going to get criticized. To me, I wouldn't want to do ownership. I think that there is, and Jerry Seinfeld has said this because they always ask him about buying the Mets or Knicks or whatever. But I think there's a thing where sports is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
With a good seat, a good beverage, if you're into that kind of thing, something good to eat, and you see a good game. I don't think, and maybe a high five from a player, an autograph, something like that, a photo, I don't think sports can get better than that.
I
think
do.
Once you get to that level, now you're into the headaches of, or did we sell enough season tickets? Did the fireworks display go off in the right way? How much more money do they need because we're going into free agency? Like, I think there's a cap on, if you're a real fan, just how good it can get.
I disagree. I think the best moment is, it's Sunday night, you need 3 points in fantasy, and boom, Christian McCaffrey breaks a screen pass for 40 yards, boom, you win. Like, the thrill of victory, have more invested in being an owner, you get to really feel the ups and the downs. So I think you can get higher than just sitting there with a beer. You can be invested. You can hold a trophy, Maggie.
I take that personally. To think that I don't go through the highs and the lows just because I don't own part of the team. This is why we're fans. I get the lows, believe me.
I think you take it to a new level when you actually get to hold the Lombardi Trophy on the field afterward.
We will get to what we saw from one of our finest athletes next. It's Maggie and Perloff. Do not move.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.